السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It is your sister and friend and bestie, you already know, and you're listening to the Digital Sisterhood Podcast. Now, you guys, I'm extremely excited about this episode. I'm not about to tell you just one story. I'm not about to just introduce you to just, you know, I guess you don't know. I'm about to introduce you to a bunch of people that you do know, but maybe didn't know. Or maybe you do know because you're a bit nosy, or you don't know, and now I'm about to introduce you to your family. Now, there have been so many episodes that have meant so much to you guys. Episodes you guys have re-listened to, episodes that you guys have taken a real take into, episodes that you often go back to whenever you need that reminder. The thing that makes these episodes special is not only the guest or myself, but it's also the women behind the episodes that put it together and have it ready for you to listen. It's the crafters, it's the producers, it's the project managers, it's the people chasing these stories down, standing at the hedges to ensure to get the best stories for you guys, who essentially put their heart and soul into these stories, into these episodes, so they can be what they need to be for you. They're also some of my favorite people ever, because I work so closely with them. And I know personally, and it feels like a family behind the scenes. Now, we don't call ourselves a digital sisterhood for no reason, okay? We are really, literally, quite literally, a digital sisterhood behind the scenes. And you'll know what I mean when you get to know them personally. But without further ado, because you know I can talk a long talk, you get me? I'm going to call you a short. I do with this British accent because I don't know if you guys know, but we're being taken over by the Brits at TDS. Literally being taken over by the Brits. I have a British accent every now and then because of them. Without further ado, let me introduce you to my favorite people ever, and who bring all the magic and love. This is the podcast team. First of all, I'm so excited about this episode. Only in general, we've never all been on a mic together talking to each other outside when we're working. So I'm really, really excited to just like, you know, get to know you guys. But I want you guys to all first before we start. First of all, who are you people? Who are you people? Introduce you guys.
She doesn't even go here.
Who is she? Who's that girl?
Hannah's that girl.
So tell me, who are you? Okay, well, who is Hannah? Where are you from?
Hi everyone. Assalamualaikum. My name's Hannah from London, South London to be precise. Let's get it right. Everyone knows about Croydon. Everyone's coming for Croydon. But we can't.
The
ghetto. Oh my gosh, she said there. It's not the ghetto, guys. Everyone's very friendly. They're very nice. But Defo, this is where I feel safest, in South London. I don't like to cross the river. But my name's Hannah. I'm from London. I'm the lead producer on the podcast. I started summer 2023 on the Love Tember series. And it's been very exciting working with the team, working with everyone, getting to know the people that I was listening to for so long. It's like, I love the podcast. I was a fan before. So, alhamdulillah, super grateful to be working with all of you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a whirlwind. And I will say, like, at TDS, we only really take people who know us. You know, like, very rarely do we work with people who've never heard of us. I think the only person we've worked with is Yusuf, who just found out about us now. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody been part of the TDS, you know, circle and family. Yeah, we should definitely get on the mic. By the way, guys, he's our new Moroccan Jonathan, okay? But one day, maybe, inshallah, he gets to come on the mic. You guys get to know him, inshallah. But I thank you, Hannah. Always 24/7. But thank you, Hannah, for your introduction. Yeah. Here I see is Maheen. Maheen, please tell us, who are you?
Assalamu alaikum, guys. I am Maheen. I am ex-South, now Northwest London girly. I'm a mama to my beautiful Samir Noor. I have to give her a shout out because, you know, you're here in the back of the podcast. You hear her crying, you hear her laughing. That's who she is. I have also been here since summer. I am production manager here at the podcast, and I love my girlies. I love them.
Yes. See what I meant when I said the British are taking over us? So Allah bilal talai. I don't know why. I like to take the, as you guys always say, the piss. But I love my Brits. I really, really do.
I definitely think you'd fit in here.
You think so?
Guys, she's lying a little bit though. I've heard either call London the cursed
land. No, I didn't call it the cursed land. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah, to be like. Astaghfirullah, to be like. I didn't call it the cursed land. I called it a third world country. That's what I said.
Yes.
And to be honest, that is not Europe. I promise you, it's a little bit better. But listen.
We don't have five lanes.
Five lanes. Your road is.
She said bad things have happened here, so bad things will continue.
Oh my God.
She said our history.
It's a very scary. I'm not guys. Am I lying about? I feel like you guys agree. I've never seen you guys see protests.
Sorry, but Canada history.
Canada's scary. I never rated Canada. My God, I'm scared. I'm embarrassed of where I'm from too. What the heck? Especially with everything going on.
We've got terrible heat in. We've got hot water bottles. Yeah. I remember you were confused about the hot water bottle.
I was shocked when I was like, oh, I'm freezing. And then they brought me a hot water bottle. I said, what the hell? Why don't you just turn on the heat? What is this hot water bottle? I was so appalled. Like, I was like, I feel like I lived in the medieval ages. I said, what the in the world? What in the ghetto is happening? And but alhamdulillah, but honestly, I feel like the ghetto, forget about the ghetto, I feel like you guys are wonderful people, because you just guys are, you guys just have all the personality, all the fun, all the laughter, you guys are just who you are, mashallah. But let's take it to Africa. Kowe, please introduce yourself, Sister Africa, Miss Africa.
Assalamu alaikum, guys. So I'm Khoya. I am associate producer. I've been working with TDS since February 2022. So 2 years almost, I think. Mm-hmm. Right. I've worked on a few episodes. Her name is Hannah, Racism and All Its Friends, all that good stuff. I love it here, and I'm from Mauritania. I don't know if I mentioned that. And for people that don't know, and I know a lot of you don't, which you should be embarrassed about, but you know, I'm not here to judge anyone, okay? It's in North Africa between Morocco and Senegal, and yeah, that's me.
And they have fitness classes in Mauritania.
Yeah, they do, for women.
You know what? I don't like, you know, do you know what? I think I might take this time as well to let you guys know that all of the TDS group are so whitewashed. It's crazy.
Not me. Khoya, wallah, if you're alive. I'm 100% Wakanda. I'm 100% Wakanda. Stop that, to be me. Wallah, stop for Allah. I'm not. There are some members like that, not me.
Are whitewashed on the team? But it's about me.
Not me.
It's about me.
I never made any crazy African statements.
Everybody's so surprised. Everybody's so surprised because we have fitness classes. And
that's not me. I didn't make that comment. I'm from Africa. What the heck?
Wait. When I tell them I don't live under a tent but in a house, let me tell you how surprised they were.
No, you're going to get canceled. Well, like, first of all, everybody on this team is black. Mostly. Or actually, two of us are. And the rest of us are colored. I promise you, there is no proof in her what she's saying.
That's
okay?
Why I was surprised. Subhanallah. I only think color in this
shit. She's still digging. And then people are like, Khoya, stop now. We have to continue working on each other. Stop.
All right.
You guys,
but sometimes, on like a day or two during the week, I do enjoy my time working with them, but like, it depends on the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, congratulations for giving me a chaotic introduction, everyone.
Thank you.
I feel like that's it. Thank you for listening, everybody. That's about it. No kidding. but yes, I love all you guys. You guys already know. And thank you guys for doing this episode and sharing yourselves to everyone. So I kind of wanted to break the ice by playing the infamous. Can I get a little bit of a drum roll, please? You already know we're going to play Vibe Check. You already know. And if you guys don't know what Vibe Check is, it's a card game that TDS came up with to make getting to know people for marriage easier. It's a question prompt game where you can ask questions to a person you're getting to know and get the details that you need to know. Because we are done with asking the potential person we're talking to their favorite color. Because that's not going to do nothing for you. That's not going to pay your bills, girl. We need to know the nitty gritty. 2024, everybody need to get married. You get me? Everybody need to get married. Matter of fact, I'll ask the married people on this team later at the end of this episode. So maybe marriage advice. Because you all need to get it together. Yeah. And they're married. MashaAllah. Tabarakallah. But Vibe Check is currently in restock. So go ahead. If this episode will come out and it's not sold out, because you know how I could be doing selling every 5 minutes. But if it's available, it's available, guys. Go check it out, inshallah, and get yourself Vibe Check. Okay, so normally this game is played with a man and a woman. It's really, really good, in my opinion. But we're gonna play the game as a team, and I want to see what your answers would have been if somebody would have asked you this question. So for our first icebreaker question, is it's gonna be from the intimacy section, because we're gonna dig deep. We're gonna dig deep with each other. So the first question to all of you guys is, if we feel unhappy with each other, right? Let's say you and this particular person you're getting to is unhappy with each other. What would be the best way for you guys to talk about it? How would you have answered that question?
Fight.
Oh my God. Fight. You go with toes, right? That fighting. We don't condone violence, but you know, sometimes fighting is okay.
I have a clarification. Yes. Is it an honest answer, or is it, because you know you said if we weren't married, because I have a different real answer, and I have a different answer if I was trying to get someone to marry me.
No! Okay, wait. Wait a minute. Okay, so I want honest answers, but remember, you're talking to somebody you're getting to know for marriage, right? And you're asking them what would have been like if they were married. So if you were unhappy, let's say, okay, I don't condone switching up answers just to marry a guy, because you're going to look crazy when you marry this guy and you realize, no, I can't. You're cute and whatever, but you're actually crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want this to happen to everybody. That's what I'm saying, you know? So you really...
It's a bit problematic.
You want to be able to answer authentically so you can find your authentic person. Are we just trying to marry any Bob, Abdullah, and Ahmed? Are we trying to marry any Abdullah, Ahmed? Or are we trying to marry our Muhammad? You know what I'm saying? Like, which one is it? So I'm going to ask the question again, okay? If we feel unhappy with each other, what's the best way for us to talk about it?
Well, if it's heated, I'd say pause. Don't talk about it in the moment. Take time apart, go for a walk, do something. Speaking from experience, guys, I got married in lockdown.
I heard lockdown marriages, if you survive that, you can survive anything.
That was 5 years in one. It was a lot. So if you can, go for a walk. Take some time apart. And then, because I feel like, I don't know, because I think because I've been married for a while now, it's a bit different, because I know my husband's trigger points, so I know what not to say, or like I know how to approach something. So I think it is a bit different. I can't extract myself from the situation. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's, yeah, so I know how to talk to him. I know how to like give him a compliment first. I mean, like, I know you're doing X, Y, Z. But this A point A is not really coming. Like, you know, it's not really like matching what I want. And maybe kind of make it like a personal thing. Like, this is something that I want, and I want you to change for me, as opposed to like, this is how you react for everyone.
Yeah, I personally, just a question for you guys who are married. You know, like, if I'm unhappy, I learned this thing, new thing. It's not new really, but I just recently learned this about myself, which is our attachments, like anxious attachment, avoid it, you know, secure. I noticed that I realize that I'm anxious. So whenever there's a problem, I want to resolve it right there. I don't want long talk. I had to think about it and sit me down. No, I don't want that. It's like, okay, you're unhappy. I'm unhappy. I need to get off my chest. Let's talk it through and then call. But then, that's not reality. Some people don't handle things that way. Some people need time. And I'm like, I can imagine that being frustrating for me, you know, a little bit. Because I'm like...
extremely frustrating.
Yeah!
Because I'm very similar to you in that I do want to resolve it now. And on top of that, it's not just that because I want to resolve it. It's because I can't do anything else. So my husband can just continue with work. He can continue looking after the baby. Like, he can just continue. Like, life is normal.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, I'm like... dwelling on it, simmering, and it's just gonna reach boiling point. So I think it's just kind of coming like halfway and letting him know, like, okay, I know we need time, because he always needs time to like kind of gather his thoughts. I know we need time, but I'll give you a day as opposed to 2-3 days, right? And I want you to then come back to me, because you know I'm upset, so you come to me then when you're ready, and I'll just try read a book.
You and I are twins that way. What about everybody else?
Yeah.
You know what? I would say one thing is, because every situation is not going to be the same, you know? Like, just because you're having an argument, and I don't have to directly answer the question, but don't let everything else fall apart. Like, one thing me and my husband will do, like, even if we're arguing, if I'm making lunch, like, maybe we won't eat together, but I'll still go and make him lunch. I will silently go and hand him that chicken sandwich, you know? And he'll do the same for me. And then that reminds the other person that, you know what? This fight is not the be-all, end-all, because that, you know, like, we still love each other. If you do those little acts, if he goes for a walk, he'll sometimes go to Tesco and he'll bring back a chocolate bar. And then I think, I love this guy, you know? He knows my favorite chocolate. And it brings it back a bit. 100%, it brings it, yeah. Don't take everything away. Don't sleep separately. Take your time that you need, but don't take everything away.
100%.
I love that.
I think it's also, do you know what, a thing for me that I learned recently is learning where I am in my cycle. And that
yes.
pivots everything. Because I know, like, just before my period, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
We can have a simple conversation at this point. Yeah. Afterwards, like, yeah, we can really go deep dive into the issues. But in the meantime, we can just be kind of like, not just civil, but kind of be like, okay, I love you, I love you, whatever. We're still good, we're still friends. But we'll come to the situation after my period passes. And that 110% helps me. So guys, learn your cycle.
Yeah.
Learn when to talk and when to keep quiet.
By the way, it's very powerful what you're saying. I just recently started to monitor my cycle. And because there's also times where you have a lot of energy. Right. And then manage your cycle based on your workload and and the way that you go to the gym and the way that you interact. Oh, my God, it changed. Because, you know, when you're not paying attention to your cycle, you start to feel like you're sad every day. You're like, what the hell's wrong with me? And in reality, you weren't. In reality, you weren't. You know what I'm saying? And so it can kind of really confuse you. But just knowing about your body can really change how your relationships with other people and the way that you interact. I 100% agree. That's what I've learned in adulting. It's about cycle. 100%. And you'll be very surprised.
So sometimes my husband can make a joke and I'll laugh about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll cry. And I'm like, yeah.
You know, the thing is, there are moments where I'm like, oh, yeah, like men really need to deal with a lot in terms of like their partner. But then I realize they're also crazy. I don't care what nobody says. Men are also not normal. Like, they have their moments of irrationality. They have moments of like, you know, so I just think we're just the specimens of imperfections. We're all imperfect their own way. And we use wisdom to work with each other, you know, and patience. That's what, you know, like people always say, oh, like when we talk about our cycles and we're like, yeah, this is why women are like, nah, everyone is not normal. And everyone has their thing. At least I like to argue that women like can locate it quicker. They'd be like, yeah. I'm definitely...
Definitely.
I'm definitely, you know, on the cycle. I mean, what do they call the luteal phase? I'm in my follicular phase. You know, you can get, if you ask me for $1 million in this phase, I might just give it to you. You know, which is kind of scary now to think about it. Maybe we shouldn't tell men about our follicular phase or something like that. No kidding.
Even my app, like, it allows my husband to see.
Yeah.
So he can see for himself.
Yeah, that's see, I love that. I love that. That's beautiful. Is that weird? I think that's really beautiful.
I
think it's very beautiful. The fact that your spouse knows what you're going through based on weeks, that's kind of deep, you know? Yeah. That's deep.
So you can know when to joke.
Exactly. And
when not to make the joke. When to keep quiet. Yeah. When to just bring chocolates. When to, you know, be out of sight. Be out of sight. You know what I'm saying? But what about you, Lemisa Roya?
I'm not confrontational at all, so I don't know. I wouldn't be able to tell because I'm not married yet. And I don't like confrontation in, like, generally speaking, like, relationships, friendships, etc. And so what I usually do is when I think it's not a big deal, I just don't, like, I fix it within, like, just between me and myself. Does that make sense? Which is not a good thing, I know. Mm-mm. And I'm working on it. In 2024, I'm trying to be more,
you would be
like,
my worst nightmare,
confrontational.
Wait, you'd be my worst nightmare. Wallahi. Yeah, if I married a guy like you, yeah, worst nightmare.
And you know, you would notice, because I would always have that shift of energy where I'm just like, meh, you know. I'll side eye you, but I won't say anything. So it's like a bit of an issue. You know?
Oh my god, that's actually hilarious.
Yeah, just trying to be honest, you know, like, not really. I could be the toxic person.
No. You're not toxic. I think all of it is just knowing the person deeply. But just because you're maybe you're not confrontational, maybe you're secure, Khoya. Believe it or not, maybe you're secure attached. And but I feel like if somebody who's anxious and somebody's just kind of not recognizing the problem and doesn't confrontation, I'd be like, I'm not trying to be confrontational. I'm trying to solve the problem. You know, see how I say problem, guys? See how I did that with a British accent? See, I have to catch myself. My God. I have to catch myself.
You see, problem. You really have a problem.
Yeah, I really do.
British accent. I thought you tried to do the Somali way.
Maybe, like, guys, maybe it is. Like, yeah, maybe. Maybe it is. Maybe I am seeing a Somali accent, guys. Maybe it isn't British that I'm doing.
Why this whole time I thought you was doing it with someone else.
No, maybe you're right, guys. I'm confusing my accents.
You're the only one here that's met all of us, right?
Yeah.
I would love to know what you thought of all of us before and then after meeting us.
So
the
thing is like, I my favorite thing is people. Like, I love people. I'm everything people. And I love being wrong about people. That's, I know it sounds weird, but I love being wrong. I love when people tell me, nah, you gotta be wrong. Like, you know, like, oh, that's so cool. So I remember, Khoya, I think you surprised me too as well. Because Khoya is like, guys, if you know Khoya, she's very sweet, very kind, very smiley. But when I met her in Spain, I saw spicy Khoya. I met, like, Khoya's not good. Because I remember I was getting, okay, so we were in Malaga. And I mean, everyone was staring at me because of my niqab, my abaya, whatever. And like, I was quite taken back by the reaction because it was, guys, I kid you not, I'd exit the flat. And because Malaga is so beautiful, it has like a lot of courtyard seating and people eating outside, people can see you right away. So as soon as I exit, people just took out their cameras. Imagine bare people like your Kim K. Like, I'm not even exaggerating because Khoya can literally defend me. You saw with your own eyes.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian has nothing on me. Me and Kimmy, we're the same, bro. We're the same. And I was like so shocked by the reception. Because I'm a hobby. I've gotten looks. I've experienced, you know. But this was an unnormal level. It was a point where people would stop. In front of me, people would take pictures, people would take videos. I started to wave. Remember Khoya? I started to wave at them. Hey, like queen, like I was the queen of England. Yeah. Hey, I said, at this point, what can I do? Like, I just have to wave and like make light of it. And I remember Khoya was like, oh, this is cute. And then Khoya would get mad. Like, if she's just waiting, I would look at her, I see her as like a shark. She's just watching anybody that says anything to me, okay? Because she saw anything crazy, she was gonna snap. You know? And like, she would always watch me. She hated when I walked behind her. She's like, oh, she'd like, Adar, walk faster. Adar, can you stand in front of me? Adar. I was like, everybody was like, I can see why everybody get nervous because it was like, we don't know what these reactions, what these looks mean. But I will say, like, and then Khoya, you said this too, it's like, the locals are just curious, you know? It's it was the tourist that had a problem. If I'm keeping a buck, but I think what was really pissed me off was, I'm not gonna lie, the Americans, why were the Brits upset that I was there? Bro, why are you here? Why are you here? The old white women in Brits were so mad. They were so mad I was there.
They're the ones who travel and assume that everyone speaks English. That's just the Brits. It's embarrassing. I don't like saying I'm from the UK when I leave.
But the locals, hey, or waving, or like smiling, or taking, like, it's just the cutest thing ever. And it just, I don't know, I felt really comfortable there. And we had a great time. And so me and Khoya, I mean, I saw the spicy side of her. I saw the defense, the one that was like, I will fight toes. I don't care.
Nobody messed with my people. No. I'll confront you for that. See, I will confront you for that.
Yeah, she'll confront. Yeah,
it's the elder sister in you, because you're the oldest. Yeah, I guess. You won't fight your own battles, but if anyone touches your people that you love, then it's on site.
Yeah. So I and it's crazy because I'm an eldest daughter, so it's not familiar for me to see somebody defending me off the bat. You know, I'm always ready to defend myself. But Khoya's sitting there looking at me like, oh, hell nah. So it was really a great experience. And one thing I really took away, Khoya, that one thing I really like about you is that you proclaim your gratitude. Like, you'll always say, alhamdulillah, I'm happy to be here. Like, I hear you say all the time. Like, you'll be just eating, alhamdulillah, I'm here. Like, even day four, she's still saying, I'm so glad I'm here. I'm like, yo, I remember thinking, I need to display the kind of gratitude Khoya has all the time, because it's like, she verbalizes it. And it's like, part of your gratitude is like thanking others around you for making the experience beautiful. Not just saying, oh, I'm here to be in the middle of these mountains and somewhere in Spain. I don't know, Khoya, meeting you felt like I knew you my whole life. I thought it would be.
Yeah, that's what.
It felt like, I don't know, I thought it would be a bit awkward because I've worked with you for what, a year, 2 years at that point, and I'm leading you only for the first time now. But I was like ready for that, like, oh hey, you know, the awkward hey girl.
But it wasn't that way. Felt like, it literally felt like I saw you yesterday. Yeah. That's what's so crazy.
It was really, really funny. And then guess what? Seeing Hawaii and Aisha together, Aisha, who's our legal team, they both speak French. They also have been friends before they came on TDS. The whole time, these people are like speaking French every 5 minutes. And I kept recording them and said, look at these French people. And they look like they were arguing all the time. But I'm sure they weren't arguing.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? They looked like they were.
We weren't.
I was like, what are they saying? But it was just, to me, it made me smile because I'm like, oh my God, look at how TDS is so multifaceted. The team members speak different languages, you know? They're from different places of the world. And it's just, I just was smiling. I was like, I could not even imagine a workplace like this, which is the most ideal workplace in the world. Like, who gets to work with people from all over the world? The different backgrounds and languages they speak, and do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lillah, to do it for Allah's sake. Yeah. And the thing that, mm-hmm. you know, that connects us like a beautiful thread is Allah, you know, is our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our love to spread His message and His deen, and to meet people and invite them and to call them and to be the best versions of ourselves. It's just a beautiful thing. And then, so that was Hawaii. And then I obviously met Limisa for the first time in the UK, the first time we went to the London event. When we did our first ever live show. And then guess what? She stayed for so long. She couldn't, I told her, you can't go home. So I gave her my bati, slept in my bed. I was like, there's no way you're going home. There's no way. I said, you're crazy. You're sleeping over. But that was the first time she came. She met me, Sosin. She met so many of us at once. And for a long time, we were working online. And Limisa, I remember thinking like, oh, like, because she's like, you know, like obviously when you work with her, you already get this like a knowledge about her. But the reason why she came in there, head held high. I'm surprised I never peeped it before. Like, you're not shy in any way. You came in there smiling at everyone. And I remember telling Sosin or sitting looking at Sosin, thinking, I think we're overwhelming her because we were all talking on top of each other. Because you know TDS, by the way, you guys, all of us are always talking on top of each other. 10 million conversations are happening, and somehow we all understand each other. It's the most bizarre workplace you've ever seen. And I remember thinking, Lamisa's just observing us, thinking, what kind of sick, crazy people is this? But you know, she fit right in, and then eventually she started to talk over and now she's part of, like, you know, that puzzle piece that was always there. It's only meant for her to fill. So Lamisa, and alhamdulillah, I met you again in our retreat in Morocco, so we had a great time as well. Alhamdulillah. So that's Lamisa. Oh, so when we met the new team members, which were obviously Hannah, our lead producer, and Mahina, our production manager. So technically, I actually met Hannah on stage. Okay, this is why I love this, because I feel like me and Hannah have a meet cute, a really cute meet cute. It was a very cute, romantic meet cute. Okay, between like a podcast voice and her. Like a essential showrunner, you know, and I didn't know who you were gonna be to me in a few months' time. But I remember, like, we're doing a live show in London, right? The show that was sold out. It was a really, really beautiful experience. It was just before Ramadan. We had a segment at the end of the show where we were doing a Q&A with the team and obviously the audience. And this is our first time in UK. It was so nerve wracking. I'm nervous out of my mind. I was sweating from places I didn't know I could sweat. Like, it was just a lot going on during that time. And Hannah was obviously in the audience. Hannah, do you want to tell me what happened? Tell us how it happened. How did we meet?
Yeah. Let me not try crying again. the event was based on the first episode of season 3, right? The power of Dua, American Dua and stuff. and I had a really emotional question. Basically, I was like 9 months postpartum. I had my little boy in June 2022. And so by then, yeah, he was 9 months old. But yeah, basically, I took the mic and I asked the question because I had quite a traumatic birth. And I had made dua the whole time I was pregnant. And it was during Ramadan as well. Every time I could make dua, when it was raining, every kind of situation, I was making dua. And I was specifically making dua not to have a C-section. But the birth after laboring for 5 days ended with a C-section. That was traumatic in and of itself. I saw the whole of my insides.
Oh, subhanAllah.
Yeah, they had like the lights on the top, and I told them I can see the reflection, and they were like, no, it's fine, we've got the curtain up. But then they dropped the curtain to show me my baby.
Oh my goodness.
I see all my organs.
Oh my goodness, subhanAllah.
Yeah, it was like they had to use forceps because he was so down. Obviously, I was laboring for 5 days. So they cut him as well. So he was on antibiotics. We had to stay. Anyway, it was all very traumatic. And so my question was, how'd you come to terms with feeling like you've made so much dua, but not only was it rejected, but it was just completely the opposite of everything I asked for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely the opposite. And so for a long time, I was struggling with it. Because, like, even praying, it was like I was just going through the motions. There was no real connection. I think I was just so angry. I was angry a lot. And subhanAllah, like, I feel like when I spoke and I asked the question, everyone started crying. Mm. Because I had to be honest. I was like, I'm having difficulties rebuilding my trust and relationship with Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, so many women came up to me, like, telling me their own experiences, whether it was with birth and pregnancy or it was, like, something unrelated. But everyone cried.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. SubhanAllah. I saw people putting their eyelashes back on. Like, people were like,
I'm sorry, guys.
They had their eyelashes flipping in the sky, and people tried to glue back on. They're like, oh, girl. And I'm just like,
stop.
Well, I kid you not. Like, people were glued their eyelashes. And I remember thinking, yes.
It was a lot, guys. Like, yeah. For like a good hour afterwards, I was just talking to people, and people were just sharing their own stories. But then my friend and also like former colleague, Sophia, we used to work together at the BBC. Then took the mic and she was like, oh, Hannah's also a producer, she's an audio producer. And funnily enough, like, Solson had already listened to one of the podcasts that I did for the BBC. And so, yeah, it just kind of went from there. And
yeah,
invited me on stage. I felt so bad. I was like, no one came here to listen to me.
Imagine we pulled her from the audience to the stage. Now she's facing like 400 people. And that was the first time I met you. I hugged you, and yeah. I remember like Sosin, you know, shared something. It was beautiful. It was such a beautiful introduction and meeting. And I mean, I remember looking at you, thinking, "Wow, what a beautiful person who went through so much." And you know, it's still, because as much as you say that you're angry at the time with Allah. At the time, when I looked at it, I didn't see anger. I just saw someone trying to find Allah in the midst of despair and grief. You know. That's what I saw. I saw somebody being feeling disappointed, but still looking for Allah at the time, you know? Because, you know, people can just give up, but you didn't. You were there in a gathering where, you know, everyone is like, you know, loves Allah, and they're trying to find their journey, and they're trying to get close to God. And at the time, it's so crazy because you weren't a hijabi at the time. Obviously, now things have changed so much, and you've grown so much since the last time I saw you. But... It, to me, I just saw a beautiful person with the story, and now here you are telling it, and there were so many people in the room thinking, wow, that's me. Like, I understand that grief and pain that she's feeling deeply. So, and it's crazy. Look, we hug it. I remember we were like shoulder to shoulder like this. And there's a picture of us just like, you know, like holding on to each other as somebody's talking. If I knew then who you would be later, I would be like, that's crazy. You know, like, and that's why I always say, like, you never know the people that you meet that come into your life and what they're going to mean to you or the things they're going to teach you. And I can say that I learned a great deal from you and your life and the way that you live it, mashallah. And we've obviously become such good friends since then. It's so crazy.
Sisters, man.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, sisters. Alhamdulillah. So Maheen and Hannah obviously didn't know each other from my knowledge, but Maheen and Lamisa knew each other. See how small the UK is? It's a very, very small place. Maheen, do you want to tell us about how we first met? The better question is, what was your first impression of meeting, like, the TDS team? Because I know you met me, you met Sosa, you met Aisha, you met Lamisa. Did we meet Lamisa that summer? Yeah, we did. You met Lamisa that summer.
Lamisa wasn't there, you know, because I came to Airbnb. And I was expecting Lamisa to be there, but she wasn't there. And Noura was there.
Noura was there, yes.
And I remember, like, I was, like... Guys, I was so pregnant. I was overdue at the time that I came to meet you. I think I was one day past my due date. So I had missed the tour. I couldn't come to the event. And I was in my house and I was like, guys, I was saying to my husband, I was like, the TES team is here. They're in the UK. Like, I need to meet them. I need to meet them. And he was like, okay, fine. I'm going to drive you down to East London, which is, by the way, like 2 and a bit hours away from me.
Oh, wow.
And I like, I remember I made a cake. I made a cake that said TDS on it.
Yes.
And I was like, I was so happy. And I opened the door and everybody just hugs. I remember Sawson pulling me into her chest. And then Adam pulling me into her chest. And then Aisha will speak to you as if she's known you her entire life.
Yeah.
Like, the loveliest. Noura, she was telling me, she was like, oh, you like these? I was like, I like your joggers. She was like, oh, let me send you the link. La, 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 la.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was just this room full of people. Hannah, oh, you're pregnant. Let me give you every single tip. Yeah. Like, it was just this room full of people that I felt like I'd known my entire life. I remember I had to go to the bathroom and take off my hijab because I was sweating. I was sweating from joy.
Mm.
I probably don't put that
on the first. We were all sweating. It was kind of hot in there.
Yeah, it was like this tiny little place and we were all crammed in and so she ordered like 10 million
pizzas. Pizzas, oh my
like
God.
5 people.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but the thought about Lamisa I knew before. Lamisa, we had met at a book club. Like, I don't know, Lamisa, like 6 months before that? A year before that? A year before that. We just ended up sat next to each other. And it was like one of those things where you didn't know anyone and they were like asking icebreaker questions. They were like, I'll turn to the person next to you, like ask them a few questions, whatever. And I was like, oh, where do you work? And she was like, Digital Sisterhood. And I was like, what? You work at Digital Sisterhood? Tell me more.
Yeah.
And I was going like, oh, can you help me? Like, I would love to work for them. Can you forward my CV? And Lamisa was like, yeah, I can do that. And then I got pregnant. So me and Lamisa were supposed to meet up and then I got pregnant and my whole world stopped. I didn't speak to anybody. My phone switched off and it was finished. When I got pregnant, I disappeared. I did not tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. I mean, first pregnancy is quite hard and like daunting, I would imagine. And you're just like, you just get sucked in that world very quickly and like it feels as though the world kind of stops. But did you, so it was like, so the first person you told when you were finally onboarded was Lamisa, right? Did Lamisa know that you were applying? Or like, how did that, or it was like a surprise when she saw you on the TV, like, what? What?
No, she was like, I think I sent her an email before I messaged her. I think I sent her an email asking her for a one-to-one. And then I was like, wait, I know this girl. Let me message her.
Yeah. Oh, meeting you, Mihin, honestly, you know what made me so proud? I said, I cannot believe, maybe Lamisa Roy can also jump into this. I was like, I am so excited to have moms on the team. Like, that was a new level of leveling up I have ever seen. You know, TDS get to, it's one thing to have women that work. It's another thing to have pregnant women working and contributing their work, having children. I mean, it took us to like, now we were calling, you know, Yasin and Suwainur the next TDS generation, you know, TDS Z, E, or whatever letter they're going to be in their generations.
I remember I was like, this is the test. Because you know, like in this corporate world, guys, if you're pregnant, you don't tell them. You don't tell them. And I was thinking, what should I do? Should I tell TDS? And I got on the call and I was like, if these are real Muslim women, they won't be prejudiced against me. And I said, guys, I'm 8 months pregnant. Like, if you hire me, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to, like, give birth.
Yeah.
And I just remember either, like, screaming and being like, oh, tell me what's going on. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I made the right decision.
Of course. What the hell? We're a Muslim institution. We do not care about what that means. Like, we see it as a form of barakah. Now, not only are we supporting you, but there's rizq that comes. I'm hoping Sumayanur is also contributing whatever goodness she's contributing to TDS. What the heck? You know?
Yes, ma'am. And, she's always here.
And I feel like children are a source of barakah. So I, it's not from a mindset to think otherwise. Alhamdulillah. For being a part of something that has those values. But yeah, like having you giving labor, you were literally giving birth and you were talking about, I'll be back the next week. We looked at you crazy. We said, no, take some time off. Yeah. You take some time off and then you'll come back when you're ready, inshallah. So it was great. And I hope that we created that environment for you to, you know, safely come back, inshallah, when it was time. But alhamdulillah, wallahi, all of it is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a blessing. I mean, he ultimately is in control of all of our affairs. And so alhamdulillah. What I want to actually know from all of you guys, because, you know, you guys are a different, you know, it's a mix of the old podcast team and the new podcast team. But I really want to know is from hearing from the newbies first, that's Mihin and Hannah. I want to know, like, why did you guys sign up to be part of this project? You guys knew, and I'm going to be real and blunt. You knew we were a startup. we knew that we were going through actually a huge transition, which made us even more precarious. And second of all, wanting to be a part of a project that was so, so beloved to so many people. And now here, I guess the fate of the podcast kind of rested on our shoulders. not to be dramatic, but it now, like, the content shift was changing, and I'm gonna be blunt with you, Han. Okay, you know, I get very close to my, you know, lead producer in particular, because I want to be able to keep the vision aligned from before. So I was nervous. I remember Sosa, and she's like, Adar, you know, we have to get yourself a new, like, lead producer to stand a third. And I'm like, I don't know if I could take another heartbreak. I don't know. Like, I get really attached. I need to, for me, and maybe this is a bit strange for other people, but for me, I needed to have a really strong bond and similar worldview with the lead producer. And that was you, Hannah, obviously. And I wanted to be real with you and tell you what I was comfortable with participating, the kind of project I was trying to do, the kind of community I'm trying to build, all of that. So I was really nervous, because I'm like, how do you look at a CV and say, yeah, you know, she and I were going to, you know what I mean? And also, even though I met you already on stage, I still didn't know too much about you, you know what I'm saying? I was nervous.
Because do you know what it is? Yeah. Like, I think having worked in, like, big corporations, you can kind of go under the radar a bit. There's not as much pressure, because there's things in place that you can fall back on. There's a lot of, like, red tape. There's a lot of, like, you know, other producers, and it's a lot easier to kind of coast as well. But I think I did want something. I wanted a bit more of a challenge, firstly. So I was ready to leave Al Jazeera before I even got your message about joining. So I was ready to give in my notice. I was going to, like, try starting my own production company and try going, like, solo. But I know that I've never really liked working solo as well. That's like, though I can do it and I can get by, I've never liked it. I've always kind of enjoyed bouncing ideas off of people. So when you came to me, though it was exciting, it was like, oh gosh, this is a lot of pressure. There's so many people who love it and who not just love it, but need it as well. I think it's like a support system, a kind of a comfort for a lot of people. And especially when you're dealing with people's deen and their Islam and their akhirah. I think it was just something as well where I was itching to improve myself and my deen too. Like, I wasn't, after having a child, it was like trying to find yourself again. It was like the 1 year after maternity, I went back into work. I was like, I can't work the way I used to. I can't be the person I used to be. And at first it was like a big fight trying to understand. Because I think a lot of the times when you see on, like, social media, it's like a thing of, women lose themselves when they have a child. And so I was like really forcing and being like, no, I'm still going to be me. But it just wasn't working. And so, like, I was like, I need to get on my deen. I need to do this. So it came at the perfect time. I just took it as a sign and was like, okay, there we go. Let's do it. And I think it was just really nice working with you and working with the rest of the team, with Khawaya and Lamisa and Mahin. It was just like, as soon as I jumped in, it was like, oh, these are my sisters. This is so sweet. This is so nice. And everyone was so nice. Alhamdulillah. So yeah, super, super grateful I took
the lead. Just honesty hour with all of you guys. You know, the thing for me that was most difficult was at the start of the podcast, it felt like, at the team at the start, it felt like we were just figuring it out. But when you guys came, it felt like I had to spring into a leadership role. And that freaked me out a little bit, because that wasn't how it was before. And so the responsibility of how you felt, how Mahi felt, how Lamisa felt, how Khawaya felt, and that work relationship, like, all of a sudden felt like it was my responsibility. Were they happy? Are they happy? People can't produce good stories if they're not happy. You know what I mean? Like, they can't look for Allah in people's stories if they're not looking for Allah every day of their life. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I'm like this an anxiety bubble, essentially, and essentially taking a leap for the first time in my life. And I think Khawaya could speak to this, because you were there before, and you instantly could tell the switch, the changes that we were trying to make. And I remember Khawaya said to me, Adar, this is a good thing. And I remember the first thing I asked her was, does this feel different? Because I know last time, you know, things were great, but it was also extremely stressful. And here we are attempting to have a team who have their role, like more
checks and balances.
Checks and balances, more like, I don't know how to explain it, more like evened out a bit more in terms of even responsibility, more evened out. So I didn't feel like it was
I'd say it was it's more fun, in my opinion. Oh, yeah. It's more fun now than it used to be before. Meaning, or I feel like not more fun, but like more enjoyable. I still remember, and I'll tell this story all the time, but Atha and I, one time, we stayed on a Google Meet for like 12 hours, like from 3 p.m. my time to 3 a.m. my time. Because we did everything we do now in like 3 weeks, 2 weeks, we did in the 12 hours.
Yeah. I think before we were survival mode. We were just in complete survival mode. Like, yo, how do we just survive? Because imagine the audience had also even, and I also want to speak to this too, and we'll get to Maheen, is that, you know, it's no secret that the episodes have decreased. Even the projects that we share, we're going to have this like thematic of 7 to 8 to 10 episodes in the future in clusters, because for our mental health, for the sake of our mental health as people, to be producing one episode a Friday and making it as spectacular as you've seen it, it's impossible. It's impossible for us to do that, to be human beings, to be people who, you know, who are Muslims, who are daughters, mothers, and all that stuff. It just didn't make sense. But people had already, like, gotten to know us with this baseline of, oh, we're going to get a story every Friday, 20 weeks straight. Which, at the end, we ended up being burnt out. And it ended up causing a lot of difficulty and struggle. And, like, it was really hard. And I felt like I was letting everybody down. Because I couldn't meet their needs at every second. Everybody, you know what I mean? Like, it was just a very, you know, the 6 months that we were on hiatus before we came back for Lumptember, that 6 month part of it was also, like, for me, was looking in and saying, why do I always feel inadequate all the time? Why do I always, always inadequacy is a looming thing. I'm not doing enough episodes. I'm not doing what I need to do enough. It's just this looming inadequacy and only letting me into a pile of, like, my despair in that sense. But for me, it was like, for others it's like, oh, we want more, but for me it's like, I'm giving you the best I can give you, and they're giving the best I can give you, but I promise you the 7 or 8 we give you is the best stories that I could pour into my heart without, I guess, killing myself for it, you know what I'm saying, while I can still be a fledgling being. So for I know a lot of listeners are like, but things are different. It is different. Things are different, you guys. You know, but the stories that we tell is not different. The sound we're putting in is not different. It's just more doesn't mean good all the time. You know, what we're focused on more now is about quality, but also the self-care of the people behind the scenes.
100% of that.
We're all human beings, and this year was the hardest year for me and the best year at the same time, which is so confusing and so conflicting for, I'm sure, anybody who would experience that. But so Hannah, it was, you know, thank God you were exactly who I thought you were. Alhamdulillah. I'm so grateful beyond understanding, like, just the type of person you are in receiving, the bubbliness, the fact that I can go to you and say, I'm struggling with this, or I'm dealing with this, or I'm not comfortable. The fact that you would receive it and listen to me without judging me, you know, is what I needed in order to be the kind of storyteller I wanted to be. You know what I'm saying? And with you, I'm just a storyteller. You know what I'm saying? And I needed that. I didn't need, this person that's like, you know, I just needed someone to say, I see what you're trying to do. And I'm seeing how you're using your gifts for good. Let me support you in it. It's because, listeners don't know, but you guys pour all of yourselves in it. SubhanAllah. Your love for Allah, I can hear it in the way that maybe Lamisa writes an intro or in a narration, like a genuine pursuit of that knowledge in Allah. You can hear it. So Qawai is like, you know, ability to read and recognize a story that will touch people's hearts. It's because she's often touched, you know. And so she know what that feeling feels like. And it's because you guys are full. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. I think just to finish my point, so I can go to Maheen for goodness sake, is that it's because of you guys as people, as Muslims, we're on this planet doing the best that you can and then giving a little part of yourselves to the world to support others in it. And it's the most selfless thing. I'm so lucky to witness even the times where we are stressed, subhanAllah, we have two mothers on the team. We've never had mothers on the team. You know what I'm saying? And when you work with mothers, it's a different level of even POV of life.
We don't have time.
These women are, you know, these women are, they also don't have time. Well, they really don't. We have to be as diligent as possible. But also, they're givers of life. They've given life. They're participating in populating this world. And they also care about the world they're going to live in on a deeper sense. So for them, like, when they want to make the world better, they have to. I want to. Hawaii wants to. Lemis wants to. Hannah and Maheen have to. They have babies that are living and breathing, and they cannot fathom a world that has no Allah in it, that has no good in it. They can't fathom it. And so you've taught me, and you guys have taught me so much about what it means to be good first, you know? And every inconvenience and annoyance I've caused you guys, I'm so sorry. But I just want to tell you guys, I love you guys for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is like, I know I said some love story proclamation of love for you guys, but I really wanted to say on the microphone because it is so true. It's so true, Wallahi. I really mean it. Yeah, everybody's crying on the microphone. Hello? Okay, listen. Everybody.
But I wanted to mention something when you were saying how you felt inadequate. I noticed it the other day when we were recording. And I realized that you've grown so much since I've met you, and you were already working a year prior to when I met you, right? And you know when how no. I noticed it, Ayla, was because I remember we'd start an interview, and then you'd ask questions, and then at some point you'd be like, wait, let me redo this. Let me do this again. I don't like this the way this sounds, right? While we were interviewing. Yeah. And we've done like, what, 3 interviews? This past week or so, 10 days, and it never happened because you're just getting more and more comfortable. And I'm just seeing you grow, and I'm seeing you more comfortable, and I love it so much.
So good, mashallah. Allahumma barik. Because there's times where it's like,
oh my God,
where we write the questions beforehand, and I'm like, we send it, but you just do it without having to look at the questions. And then you hit every single point, and it still flows. And it's amazing, amazing.
I feel like it makes me so much closer to all of you, like just seeing how we went from this to this. Obviously, you guys can't see it. I forget that we're in a podcast. Like from to high. But yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, it means so much to me to hear you guys say that because I genuinely feel like a mess. I always do, you know, and I'm giving myself a lot of grace, you know, to say, hey, like, show up messy. They're not going to judge you, you know, you're doing the best that you can because, I really don't know a lot, you know, and I'm trying to know and I'm trying to be
who
better.
But, I was like, going to say, yeah, who, you know, one, who does? Yeah. And two, there's like knowing and skills that you need to learn, and then there's being born and being endowed with skills that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you himself, and either like genuinely your inquisitiveness, the ease that you ask questions, the ease at which you make friends, and that you make people feel comfortable, those are things that you can't teach those things. Do you get what I mean? Those are just things that you just say alhamdulillah for, and you use those skills to do what needs to be done in this world.
Maheen was the first person I met before I met. I met Hannah on stage, but it was Maheen I did the phone call with first. And, you know, Maheen was different, guys. I don't mean to, you know, like, she was really different because she was very, like, analytical. She was very detail-oriented. She was very quick. And she was very organized. And I remember when I looked at her, I was like, oh, what a fresh breath, Erica, because I'm a chaotic artist. Like, I'm a chaotic artist. My room's a mess. Everything's a mess. And just talking to Maheen for even 2 seconds, you feel organized. You feel put together.
You do.
You feel a bit more. Like you just drank orange juice. And you're like, you can do this. Yeah. And I remember talking to Sosa about it, because Sosa was working on the hiring, and Nora was hiring. And I remember saying, I was like, I need a Maheen on this team. Like, it's without, we had seen already a few people. I said, I met Maheen, that's enough for me, you know? And it was, I just instantly understood. Like, I said, you make me feel like I don't got this boat alone. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not, like, if I decide to leave the ship a little bit, I know Maheen can take the ship. It's like how you feel about an eldest daughter, you know? Like, I'm not to parentify you. I'm so sorry, Maheen. My eldest daughter, you really are. On TDS, you're the eldest daughter. I don't have to parentify you. But you give me such a sense of comfort, you know? I don't know.
You know what? I don't mind being. If I'm TDS's eldest daughter, I don't mind if that's how I go down. I'm okay with that. I'm so okay with that. I remember talking to you either, and I remember like maybe 5-10 minutes into the call, you went, "Do you have a Type B personality? Will it be?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "What's the type? Is this a good thing? What is she saying?" And she was like,
"I think it's type A, right?
Type A personality." And you were like, and you stopped talking to me. You were like, "Sosin, she's like you. Sosin, we need a Type A personality."
Yeah, we need Type A. We need a Type A.
Maheen gathers us all. She gathers us all.
God, all
Hannah, have you done
time.
This? What about this? What about? And I'm like, let me do it before Maheen asks.
No, that was the most stressful thing at the beginning, because I remember Sosin sat me down and said, "People aren't going to like you at first, maybe." And I was like, "Huh? I'm joining my dream team, my sisters, my girlies, and you're telling me they're not going to like me?" And she was like, "You have to." You know, Sosin, very to the point, she was like, "That's what you have to do. Yeah. That's what you're here to do." I was like, "Oh, okay. Like, fisabullah, like, yeah. Let's try and do this."
Yeah.
And then, like,
yeah.
I think the first calls, I could tell when I was talking to Khoya, when I was talking to Nimzi and stuff, it was a bit like, oh, like, it's a bit much, it's a bit serious. But,
yeah.
SubhanAllah, guys, I have an easygoing side.
You are way better than all of us, in the sense that you can get us together, but you did it with so much love. You did it with so much leadership.
You did it with
so much grace. You know what I'm saying? You let it be us. You never told us. Being us wasn't too much. You know,
August, okay?
It's cool.
Us all put together. And then she had to leave, yeah. Right? Because she was giving birth. Do you guys remember how lost we were without Maheen? Yeah. After only a month of knowing her.
Yeah.
I felt so lost.
Sorry.
But you know what?
Me doing the production, Maheen. I said, "Maheen, I hate it here. She was like, "Oh, Hannah, I want to come back." Because I was so worried of putting too much on you, Maheen. Obviously,
yeah,
like,
I remember Hannah, you were so
scared. I was so scared because I was like, that newborn phase, that killed me. I was in the trenches, yeah. I said, "Bro, if I never have to do that, I'm cool." I was getting beat daily. So I was like, I can't do that to her. But then when she asked, she was like, "Oh, Hannah, I'm going to come back." I was like, "Please."
So happy. You guys know why that is. It's because, like, you guys, like, you're my inspiration, you know, and working with your inspiration, how can you give that up? I remember, you know, before we started recording this, guys, Ada was asking us to think about, like high level, like, why did we want to join TDS? For me, I wanted to join, when I found out I was pregnant, I said, I can't just be doing an any man job anymore. I need my daughter to be proud of me. I need her to do something that she says, my mama did this. And I want you guys to know that's the kind of thing that people are thinking when they listen to the podcast. Like, that's how much strength and inspiration you give them, that we actually want to raise our daughters on this. Like, that's who you are. You're those women. Like, that's
and
amazing.
You're a part of
and
that,
thank
Maheen.
You. Thank you for that.
Oh my God. You know, my biggest fear was, no, I don't, Maheen. Honestly, I remember when you said that, because you said, that I'm doing this because I need to say something about my life to my daughter that matters. And I said, you got the job. 100%. I said, are you crazy? You got a bigger cause than TDS, baby. You got a bigger cause. It's not even about like TDS. You got a bigger cause. For you, it's like, my kid needs to know how they need to move after. A lot of companies don't hire pregnant women. And I just want to say that with so much vim, that TDS is not that kind of company. You could come us on the bridge of, "I'm going to the hospital tomorrow night." If we believe in you, you're hired, baby.
That's pretty much where I was. That is pretty much where I was. And you guys did not care. You said, whatever. And I feel like that is, I don't know if this is consciously something you guys have been thinking about, but I feel like that has seeped into last season and this season that we're preparing right now. Like, that knowledge that it's not just about our generation. Like, it's about what comes after. Like, TDS is leaving a legacy. And like, TDS is something that people can learn from, that people like it. You have a duty, you have an obligation. I feel like maybe that's the way you look at it. And that when you look at your work in that way, it changes things.
100%.
It adds, you know, adds its own pressure, but it's the thing that gives me meaning. Like, I like, it's the reason why I'll drink an energy drink like I'm doing right now at 8 a.m. Who does this? I mean, he literally told me, "Are you crazy?"
I saw that in the show. I said,
"I know, but I need to survive today." Like, I need to survive today because I understand like what it's gonna take from us. But I will say, you know, like, I believe that Allah is trying to teach us something here, is that it's important that when women participate in things like who they are, what they have, how much children have, it's irrelevant. You know what I'm saying? And all of these things just make them better. It just makes them a better storyteller. It just makes them a better person. It just makes them more heartedly. Like, I know, like, I'm looking at you guys and I'm just at awe all the time, subhanAllah. And it's just, I'm just like, I'm so proud. Because when I look at your babies, I'm like, yes, the next city generation. You know, like, I'm thinking about, they're going to be the next
in a couple years. Send them to work. You know, send them to work
gonna
now. Be,
they're going to talk about this. And you know what, even too, it's also archive, right? So Maheen, somebody's gonna hear the stories of you've managed and produced. And right now, subhanAllah, by the way, I really want to mention, Maheen, you're not just a project manager, but you're actually producing episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? You're starting to write on them. You know, you're starting to, basically you're becoming a director. Like, it's like a cast in a movie saying, I want to direct the next episode that I'm in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so you're doing that, and it's like Lamisa's doing that too, because Lamisa was strictly a writer. Now she's going to start cutting tape. And I'm just dying of laughter because we're all cutting tape. We're all writers. We're all producers. Yeah. We're all just, you know, adding, I guess, who we are and what we believe in into the stories that are coming today. But my question to you guys is, okay, so I asked Maheen this question, I asked you again, but the older team, what was it like having new people in? Was it hard? Was it easy? Did you like them at first? Spill the tea. I want to hear the real. Don't give us the fluff, okay? It's a safe place now. We all like each other. But what was the real? Let me start.
I would say, I feel like I'm also new to the podcast team, by the way. I wasn't never in the podcast team before August. I was always with Sosin doing marketing and sales stuff. So I never knew what it was like to be working in a team. It was always me and Sosin every single day, probably for a year, me and Sosin every day we'd get on our call, we'd talk about ourselves and marketing, and we were like best friends, but it was just us two, you know? So it was not the same as how it is now, where we're like the group and it's really different. But I feel like I was nervous, and I met Hannah in Lake District, and then I was like, okay, actually, this is chill, like, this is so chill. This is like nothing. Like, I can do this. But yeah, I love it because, I don't know, I love it. It's like you're on a group call with your friends and you're just chit-chatting and you just do some work as well on the side. But yeah. And it's different from how tedious is so different from when I first started, I think. Completely different thing now, 100%. Mm. When we first started, I would say it was like you said, we were like, a baby, like, and no one,
bootstrapping, like,
yeah,
crazy.
And everyone was doing everything, like, no one had a particular role. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but everyone did different things, right? And even if we didn't know how to do it, we would do whatever we were doing just for the sake of doing it. But I think now everyone's got their like forte, their passion, what they want to do, they're all involved in those things. And everyone has an expertise in the things they're doing. So it makes us that much better, you know?
But you know what? Mm-hmm. Can I add something there to what Amita said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that, like the thing about everyone having their own passion and stuff like that, that is true. But another thing, like from the beginning with Ada, and to like maybe last week, Ada said to me is, again, like, I feel like your dream, so much in jobs in this world that we live in now, you have to settle. Mm. And at TDS, you don't have to settle. Mm. It's not like, oh, you're stuck in this role and you need to do that. You are constantly wanting to elevate and do more and contribute more because 100%. You're surrounded by inspiring people who tell you that you can and who nurture that in you. Like, guys, can I say to people who didn't know this, Lamisa, you might want to cut if you don't want these details known about you. Lamisa's only 20. I didn't know that.
She a baby girl.
Accomplished from like the first 2 weeks, I was calling Lamisa and asking her for advice. And like, as a kind of parental kind of person, I don't ask younger people for advice. I don't do that. And I wouldn't have done it if I knew she's younger than me. I haven't told my truth yet. But she's just wise. She's wise from her years. And TDS allows her to flourish. It allows all of us to flourish.
Yeah. I agree. Oh my goodness. I was 18 when we first joined, and Sosa never treated me like I didn't know anything. Do you know what I mean? But which is, she would just say stuff. I had no idea what she was talking about most of the time. She'd just say stuff, and that's how I learned. Now I can understand what she's talking about. But before, I had no idea what she said.
I mean, if you believe in people's abilities, don't talk to them like they can't do it. Talk to them like they can. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
but you know what? That's a very, like, big TDS thing as well, because when I first came as well, so Aisha and I came into TDS team to do the French TDS, right? Mm-hmm. And then we realized I didn't have any background in production. And so I joined the team just to learn a little bit in order for me to take on TDS French. And then it just ended up, like, we postponed that, and I just ended up in the podcast team for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Number one fun fact is Lamisa and I worked at the same time, but I only met her in August as well.
We never
when she joined the podcast team, which is crazy as well.
I just heard about her.
So technically I met me too. I only heard about Lamisa or like the when we would do like the big town hall meetings, you know, once a month I would see her there, but that's about it, you know. And so I met all the new podcast team in August as well, and not gonna lie, I was very, very stressed. Okay. I didn't know what to expect. I knew it wasn't gonna be like before, and we had to like stick to a schedule, which was very different from what we used to do. And then Maheen went in a one-on-one, and I was like, what am I gonna tell to this project manager? I have a project manager now. So that was stressful. But then it just flowed. Honestly, it went so easy. It was so easy. Amazing. Alhamdulillah. I don't think I'd be able to do this with anyone else, or at least I wouldn't enjoy it as much as I do. Honestly.
And the crazy part is everybody's sticking out Korean hearts right now with their fingers. But I will say, because you know they can't see you guys. But what I can say is that, you know, this is the beginning of the podcast team. You know what I mean? Like, there is so many people that are going to come. You know, I always say this, subhanAllah. I've been saying this to D-Day. I said, there are people Allah's going to introduce us to that we don't even know that's coming. Just like I didn't know who Maheen was coming. Just like I didn't know Hannah was coming. Just like I didn't know Lewis was coming. But they came, right? And I see it as an invitation. Allah SWT invited them, you know? And they need to do what they need to do because they got their decree and they got their path. And Allah has clearly something for them to fulfill that duty. And so I get so excited when I see how amazing this team is already. I'm like, oh my God, it's only just going to get bigger. There's somebody who's listening to this right now that has no idea, is thinking, oh, I'm just a fan. And next year, they're going to be something of a big importance to this team. You don't know. And subhanAllah, Maheen, like you said, and Hannah said, and Lamisa said, you guys were all listeners. First, you guys were all listeners. And then you guys said, let me offer my skills to this institution, to this platform, to this movement that I think is so important. And you guys came and you did it with all 10 toes down, with everything in it.
But you know what? It's crazy from this side as well, because sometimes it's overwhelming when you think, like, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put me in this position? Because it's a thing where there's so much, I wouldn't say pressure, but so much responsibility, not just for the people within the team, but for the people that are listening. And as I said before, like, coming from a place where I was really angry with Allah, like, and then just feeling like this is a privilege to be in this position. And so much, like, not just for our current lives, but inshallah in the akhirah, like, because the messages that we receive of people making dua continuously.
So talk about that. How shocking is that? To go, so I actually wanted to know, because I will say, I think the thing about TDS that makes it so special is you guys get a direct response.
Continuously.
Like, you guys get, like, continuously direct responses of the work they do. And I don't know if you guys do that in the work that you had worked before, but you guys are literally getting direct. Mm-hmm. You see the responses. How is that, like, how's that been? Like, how does that feel for you guys?
It's
like,
different.
Out of curiosity.
The best thing in the world.
I get scared right now.
I feel like it's like, you know, sometimes I'm so scared about, like, what are we actually all doing on this earth? Like, Allah has put us here, and we're just like, I don't know, like
an existential crisis.
I'm watching. I'll be watching an episode of Bridgerton, having a good time, and then I'll be like, oh, then Allah put me on this earth to watch an episode of Bridgerton. Like, no, like, what am I doing? But when I see those messages, I'm like, thank goodness, alhamdulillah, the work that we are doing, at least we are doing good on this earth. We are making use of our time.
It means something.
I don't know. That's for me. Why does it scare you, Hannah?
Because it's just, again, I feel like it goes back to that responsibility of, like, you want to do the best, but sometimes, like, with the capacity that you have, right? And sometimes people don't necessarily understand that you're already working at capacity. So the listeners hear what they hear, but they don't see behind the scenes. And sometimes it's a bit scary in that you hope that they like it, you hope that they receive it in the way that you intended, but that may not necessarily be the case, because we've all seen in situations, even when you're having a conversation, someone taking it the wrong way. But you can correct it in the moment. Mm. You can be like, okay, pause, actually I meant this. But when it felt like there's so many listeners from all over the place, you're like, is my British South London twang gonna hit in the same way that I intend for it to be received? And if it's not, I can't correct it in that moment. So it's just, when you see the messages, you're like, okay, alhamdulillah. But I think it kind of also goes back to what you were saying, Maheen, of once, like, having a child and you're like, okay, I want to do more. So sometimes, and the other thing is, yeah, guys, I'm not gonna lie, before I had Yassine, I was so calm with dying. I know that sounds a bit morbid. I was so calm. I was like, okay, if I die, I die. What am I gonna do about it? Like, do you get what I mean? It's
like I'm dead. Low key, that's me.
But exactly, that's what I was vibes. Purely vibes. But now it's like, I don't wanna die. I've got there's someone here that I want to teach, and inshallah, like, if I'm not around, he has the podcast to listen to. It's that pressure as well. Mm. I feel like there's pressure from all sides, but when you're in it and you're producing the pieces and you're editing, I feel like the pressure's not really there as much. It's when we start uploading to Megaphone, that's when the pressure goes, because you know we're having conversations and, like, you guys might be feeling a bit anxious. In the moment, I'm like, guys, chill, everyone chill. Like, let's just get on with the work, let's do what we can. It's after, when you deep it and you're by yourself at night, or you're in the shower and you're just there like, this is pressure. I hope it's landed. I think that's where it comes. But please, guys, send your messages, good or bad.
Isn't that one of the signs of like the best believers? Like, if you're like fearful of the acts that you're doing, like, if you know, like, if you're praying and you're always thinking like, oh, is my prayer being accepted? Is my wudu being accepted? Is my good deed being accepted? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a sign of someone
that's,
who's very close.
That's scary as well, because I'm like, what did I do? Who am I? Why does Allah let me? Do you get what I mean?
My biggest issue is like, am I like entitled to even be here? Like, who am I? Why do I get to participate in this? And am I good enough to be participating in something so big, you know? Yeah. And I think it just goes with everything else, you know? Sometimes you have, like, imposter syndrome and you're like, but I don't, like, this is not good and this is not, I can do better, and there's probably someone else that could do better than me, etc. Because it's about the deen and you're sharing other people's stories and they're very inspiring and you're like, am I good enough to be able to share these things? And I also know that it's not the way you're supposed to think, because at the end of the day, we're all trying our best and we're all working and nobody here is claiming to be perfect in any way, shape or form. But, you know, there's always that thing in the back of your head. And just to go back to the whole Megaphone thing, my biggest issue is when it's Friday and I'm waiting for the upload. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And then I'm just refreshing the comments and I'm like, okay, do they like it?
Oh my God. Yeah. And you know, and the thing is, so I've done this for a bit. I remember we've done mistakes in season one where we had to correct it. You know, like, I know what it feels like to not catch a mistake, you know? And then be told, hey, you missed something here. But a friend gave me an advice that was really, really, like, I still stick to today. She said, you're going to make a mistake. You're always going to make a mistake. You're a human being. You're going to make a mistake. Are you Allah? It's impossible, you know? But what Allah wants from you is to be humble enough to correct them and to say in front of everyone that I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Allah wants from us. They will tell you, this is impacting my iman. And it's like, obviously, it's not us that's impacting their iman. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's impacting their iman, right? But when you're a custodian, when you're a means, right, you also want to feel good enough to be chosen by Allah to deliver whatever it is that He wants to deliver to His slave. And so I remember I went down that dark, dark tunnel of, but I'm a sinner. You know, I'm a sinner. Like, I'm a sinner. Like, how can I be, you know, be a part of this? How can I do this? And it's like, and my other friend was like, excuse me, you're a sinner always and forever to the cradle to the grave. you know? But what you need to do is repent. Like, you need to be you need to repent often. Like, that's who you need to be. That's how all of us as Muslims are supposed to be. Does that mean that we start participating in khayr? Does that also mean that you don't tell the truth when you know falsehood or lies are being spread? Even if you know one piece of knowledge, it's a wajib that you share it. Even if you feel like you're just not the right person to do it. You know, we never told anybody that we're teachers. We're students. We're students, and the guests that come onto these podcasts are students themselves, students of life. You know what I'm saying? Students of trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just slaves who are saying, this is what I've learned on the road. Now, out of curiosity, I'm just curious. What are some stories and narratives that you want to tell in 2024 and beyond? Like, what's something on your bucket list?
Do you know what? I think this upcoming season, though it's been very hard to work on, not for like the technical difficulties, more for like the content itself and the amount of like emotion and like the strength that you need just to work on it when you're hearing like such hard-hitting stories. I'm eager to share that with people. In that, it's just because it's just such a difficult time for the ummah, right? And it feels like left, right, and center, people just coming for us, you know, whether it's in the West or if you're literally on the battlefield. It's just a constant bombardment. But it's like, I think I saw one of your tweets either in that, you think like the ummah's trying to come together now. Wait till the best of months in Ramadan, inshallah. And that really gave me hope because I'm like, doing these stories, I've been making dua, right? And you're like, making dua for the people that we're talking about, but also against the oppressor, right? And the oppressors, because there's multiple. And you said that, I said, I can't wait. I can't wait to make dua.
Yeah, wallah. You know what I was thinking? You know what gave me chills? You know, the reason why I like Ramadan is extra, like, so impactful is that even the weakest of us in faith outperform.
100%.
You know? So that's what I think. Imagine the one who is like, isn't praying all his five, right? He's not praying all his five, but he's making dua and stuff like that. But imagine the weakest of us in the best of Ramadan and the best of us in Ramadan. You try to tell, and we're seeing each other every night in Tahajjud when we know how safe we feel in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we know it's not safe everywhere else. And we're standing in Salah and we're doing dua al-Qunut. Are you crazy? This Ramadan is going to be the scariest for our oppressors. It's going to be the scariest Ramadan for our oppressors. Our oppressors, if you're listening, watch out, bro. You about to get the scariest. The eyes are going to be flying everywhere. The devil's locked up. The best of us is outside. The worst of us is outperforming. We're making dua. We're standing in prayer. We're shoulder to shoulder. We're praying at night. Baby, it's D-Day for the oppressors. It's D-Day. Bullets. Bullet. It's up for everybody, fam. It's up. Like, it's one of those things. It's up for everyone. Khalas.
Yeah,
like, it's like, isn't there like a TikTok sound that says, my enemies, watch out. Today's not the day. You don't want to catch me. You don't want to catch me, Bill Ramadan. Fi Ramadan. You don't want to catch. And everyone's going to catch it. All the oppressors. Biden's going to catch it. The Chinese government's gonna catch it. The Israeli government's gonna catch it. Islamophobia is gonna catch it.
Don't give away too much.
Everyone is catching it. It's up. I'm just saying, it's D-Day for everybody.
Time is up.
You know, and so literally, me too, baby. It's up. It's but up. I think, inshallah,
khair. Definitely like working on that season. But do you mean the subsequent season as well? That one I'm
excited. But what? Yeah, we can't think, you guys, we have so many things coming up. No, but I know every listener is gonna be like, just tell us. But I'm gonna tell you guys, this Ramadan is gonna be a very powerful a season, but the one after that is gonna be, you guys are literally not gonna, you and I, every Friday, that's it. And it's gonna be probably the most talked about season, in my opinion, is the one that's gonna come out in the fall. Inshallah. I feel like it's gonna be the most talked about. I feel like we have episodes coming out in Ramadan that's gonna be very talked about. Because we're really pushing the envelope. We're really pushing the envelope, inshallah.
We're trying something different as well, guys. Like, I do want to kind of give that disclaimer. And inshallah, you guys will support us. Because that's been a bit of a a worry of mine, because it's like, are we trying a bit too differently? We're trying, of course, to stick to TDS guidelines, but inshallah, if it's a bit different, please do give us your feedback. We do obviously really appreciate it, and inshallah we can grow from that. But just to the rest of the team, don't give away too much, guys, in your responses.
I know. So sorry. I know Hannah's looking at me like, you're talking too much. But anyways, outside of that, Khoya, is there any narratives that you haven't yet explored?
The thing is, I feel like we will just keep teasing the next season. But for me, I'm not talking about the next season particularly, but I'm excited to see how people are going to react to it. Because if they react in a good way and they're really like invested in it, I really like that, the what we're doing. I really want to keep working on very meaningful stories and like impact people and like try to make a change, how small it might be, but like contribute to it is like what excites me, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I have somewhere else to go with it. I have something on my bucket list. And this is inspired by someone that we met recently, that we met on the retreat. Fatah, if you're listening, we love you. It's just inspired by you. Okay, when we were on the retreat, there was a lady, there was an Ethiopian sister, and she was an older lady, and she was there with her daughter and her friend. And she said to me, I sat down next to her on the first day, and she said to me, who are you? Like, what's your name? I explained, I'm from TDS. I said, you're from TDS? Where's Ada? Where's Ada? Bring me Ada right now. I said, I'm sorry. Ada's still on the plane. Ada's stuck right now. She's having a bit of a situation. And she, with tears in her eyes, explained to me that every time an episode comes out, her and her family sit together and they all listen to the episode together. And I know that you guys have thought about this before. I know that we know it's intergenerational, but in my head, like, I hadn't pictured so many old women listening to the podcast. So I would like to bring more of them on it. Like, I think she was telling me how Haba Rahma's story was really, really hit for her. And I would like to have, like, imagine if we had really had Haba Rahma. I know we think she's an angel, but like, I would like to have more intergenerational conversations, more older women. I think that would be really, really, really nice.
Yeah. I it's interesting because I feel like her name is Hannah Brooke that. Intergenerational, because a lot of parents started listening from that episode and they've stuck with us since then. And I said this in, I think, the last wrap up, but that's the part that impacts me most, is that episode, I guys, and I've said this, I think I've said this before, maybe I have not, that episode was, I was scared to death at how it was going to be taken by particularly my community, because so my community, mashallah, tabarakallah, they're the best and the greatest community, in my opinion, because I'm being biased, by the way. But there's a lot of things, there's a lot of stigma in our community. And mental health is one of the big one. And so I didn't know how I was going to take it, but wallahi, I'll never forget. After 2 weeks of hiding in my room, after the episode came out, I went to the masjid. And I was met with, obviously, the elders in our community, with tears in their eyes, hugging me. And I was so scared. I don't remember just burying my face in their chest. I'm like, oh, I didn't know if you guys would like, we loved it. You did the right thing. How you told the story, you honored her. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. Amal did such a great job and how she explained it. And I remember thinking, this is what impact looks like. It's one thing to impact one generation or Gen Z or millennials, but it's a completely different ball game when a story can be told from our perspective and it resonates with a generation like them, from them, because it's two different worlds, what they lived and what we lived. I mean, like, our parents ran from a war-torn country. I've never even seen a war-torn country. You know what I'm saying? And so it's the narratives and the perspective of life is so different. And I feel like the gap is even large between us. For many of you, especially for immigrant household, the gap is massive between our parents and the generation after. So that episode, the fact that it made it smaller and the fact that it was content that they listened to with their daughters in their car, honestly, all I can say is alhamdulillah.
I was gonna say, because like my mom, she's gone back and listened to every single episode. I couldn't get her off my Spotify account.
I
need to make her own one, it's jarring. But she's always said, like, because she was never given the opportunity to really learn Islam for herself. And I think it's for her listening to it. Why am I getting emotional? I think for her, it's just like seeing Islam in practice, in different walks of life. Because I think for a long time, she's been made to feel like the way she does it is wrong. There's obviously the fundamentals, right and wrong, and this is halal and haram. outside of that, you know, obviously people have their own cultures and their own ideas and ideals.
Yes, spirituality, basically the manifestation of spirituality, subhanAllah, is the part that is so powerful that we don't get to explore enough. How that story and their relationship with Allah expands or grows or deepens over time and through hardships is what really connects us all. But I actually want to answer this question too, but let me say, I'm really curious to hear, like, is there any narrative or storyline that you kind of want to explore that we haven't yet, like, explored yet?
I really want us to be fearless this year, because I feel like there's so many things that we've felt like are holding us back, but we've pushed through them, and we continue to push through them since the start of TDS, since the inception of TDS. It's always been about pushing the envelope and doing things that people don't want to hear, and doing things for the benefit of our ummah. And that's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be things that people want to hear, but it's necessary. And I just like the way that we're going with TDS. I like the path that we're going down, which is continuing to do things that stand out and are different and are needed for people to hear. Because some stories, you know, are very hard to find, and we put them out there and it's good for the people, for us. And so I really just want to continue doing that this year. I just want to be fearless. And I want all of our members to be reminded, like, that's what we're here to do at TDS. And we don't, we don't have any, what's the word, like, responsibility. We don't have any thing that we need to follow. We don't have any rules that we need to follow. It's all up to us. So.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I think that's, with the mindset we are in making the new season, we have to force ourselves to be fearless a little bit. And it's scary because as the platform gets bigger, and the audience gets bigger, the responsibility gets bigger. And that's something that weighs very heavy on us. But the responsibility also can't put a tape over our mouths.
Yeah.
It also shouldn't stifle our vision to push and say, hey, this is a narrative that needs to be talked about. This is a pain. This is a sore spot. This is a narrative that we don't often explore, and we need to. We need to go there. Our religion goes everywhere. It doesn't shy away from any question or issue, nothing. So why are we afraid to go there? Just because society or what people told us, it's not. This is a podcast about deen. This isn't about culture or society. You know, it is about society in hindsight, but in terms of, like, how are we making society better? Not how society is policing us. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
But I will say, you know what story I would love for us to explore? A story about FGM. We haven't gone there. And I would really, really, really like to tell a story about FGM. If you're a listener and you have a really good story, maybe you experienced it, definitely email us. I really want to talk about FGM. I also want to talk about, I know this is really random, but I want to tell a story of a princess. I don't know. Sounds so random. It's like, what does that even mean?
A real one.
But like a real one, like a fallen prince, maybe even a fallen princess, like a princess that was one but abdicated.
Adam, you know? you've watched The Princess and the Marine, haven't you?
Yeah. Listen, that's the film. But listen, the reason I don't even care about, but the reason why I want to tell stories about princesses is because the Islamic world has always had royal families. You know what I'm saying? And we've always had monarchs, and we always had, like, royals. So I just wanted to explore a story, even a family who might have been from royals, or, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. I think that's an interesting story to tell about from an Islamic or from a Muslim world view of, like, I don't know if you guys know the royal family. Brunei just got married. Their prince got married. You know, like, Jordan's prince also got married. There is just a plethora of things going on. I would love to tell stories from that we don't quite have an insight on. But we know everything about non-Muslim royals. We know everything about non-Muslim monarchs. We know everything about, but we don't know nothing about, like, the Muslims that have monarchs themselves and what they're doing. What are they? Are they good people? Are they not? Mm-hmm. Do they do charity? Do they follow the sunnah? Do they, you know, like, what is their view of the world and government? And, like, what are their biggest, like, I'm just fascinated by it. I was like, I just would love to tell a story about a royal or even a fallen princess or even a warrior in a different sense. Okay, so my last question for you guys, and I think this is a really good one because a lot of people are really inspired by TDS's work, right? By your work, by your efforts, that they also started to do the heart work, as Noura from our directors describes it. She describes TDS as heart work. You know, and sometimes heart work isn't easy. Heart work isn't, like, it's just not easy because it, like, forces you to work from here and not maybe from your brain or your pockets or rationale, but just from the heart. And so what advice, because we get this in the DMs all the time, people telling us, oh, I started this project because I was inspired by an episode, or besides the fact that the way that you guys do things. And I think that's so amazing, because if TDS isn't inspiring people to do more hard work, then what is it really doing? So alhamdulillah, that's the case. So you guys being obviously in the center of this, like, hard work, what advice would you give other people who are either working on hard work right now currently, or who are thinking about, you know, doing more hard work in 2024?
Pray to Allah. I know it's an obvious one, but ask Allah to put barakah in the work that you're doing. Ask Allah to purify your intentions. He's what brought me to CDS. I'm sure he's what brought a lot of us to CDS. That is, like, the main one for me. Just constantly ask yourself, is what I'm doing true to myself, and is it true to my religion?
That's powerful. Absolutely.
It's very easy to get into your own little bubble and just kind of stay in yourself. But I think it's so necessary to have good people that you talk to, and that you can kind of, like, bounce ideas off of, and it doesn't feel as lonely, because sometimes it gets very, very lonely. And I think as you grow older, you know, you go through life stages and it makes you feel more lonely. I remember when I first had Yasin, like, those first few months up at night breastfeeding, I was just there, like, it's just you and God right now. So you just really just be conversing. But yeah, I think it's definitely important to have a good set of friends that you can talk to and talk to often. And I think in person as well, like, take yourself out of your bubble, force yourself out, try different things, go out. Like, you don't have to just sit and talk with your friend, do different activities together, you know, build that bond. And I think inshallah that defo does help.
I just think you have to know what you're going in to do it for. You have to know what your intention is, and you have to remind yourself of your intention the whole time. I think for the last 2 years, I've had to remind myself of my intention a lot when it comes to TDS, because you can get carried away when you see what could happen and, like, aspirations and dreams, but you need to remind yourself what you started doing it for and the intention of it all. So, yeah.
I think quickly, just going off that, it's normal to have peaks and troughs, like, to ups and downs, and to not beat yourself up when you're in the downs, because it, even personally, it still happens, currently in a down moment, and you find yourself, like, just saying quite negative comments to yourselves, and that doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help the people around you. I think just pause, reminder, it happens to all of us. And I think, again, that's why it's good to have good friends, because then they can remind you when your internal voice is not working as it should be.
I think very big on renewing intentions. Just renew your intentions all the time. When you're in your downs and your good moments, it's always good to step back and just think, okay, why am I doing this for, and what's the reason behind it? And obviously, when you start the efforts, you don't always see the results very quickly, but I promise, just this little percentage of, like, result that you end up seeing is worth everything, every effort, every down and bad moment you have.
Absolutely. I think to add to that, really, is when you're doing work that is heart work, or that is work centered around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase in your private good deeds, your private prayers, your private affairs. Because if your best work is the work that you're doing publicly, that can mess with your intentions. If the best part of you is the work that only people can see, that can mess with your intentions. And so I got this advice from my teacher many times. They said, you know, since you're doing work that's very public, you need to increase in your private ibadah, your private dua, your private relationship with Allah ta'ala. You need to increase in the Quran. You just have to do that. You can't be the champion for people and then have a faulty relationship with Allah ta'ala, have a strained relation with Allah. It doesn't make sense. And just as Hannah says, you're gonna have ups and downs, a little high imans, and that's gonna be part of that journey in that hard work. But it's also, it's always about coming back. It's always about, you know, retrieving, coming back to your cave. You know, as a person, I used to, you know, go to Cave Hira and find that solitude and that reminder and really reset again. That's normal. You're a human being. You need a reset. And yeah, and I think the balancing of intention, making sure your sincerity is so sincere, is to increase in private worship, in private charity, in private everything. Like, have a private life, fam. Like, with Allah, have a really, really good private life. And have a good, have a deed that nobody knows about. That's only between you and Allah. You know, things like fasting is really good because nobody knows if you're fasting, you know, unless you tell them. Like, that's good. You know, fasting, they always say it's one of the best virtues because it's the type of ibadah that only is between you and Allah, you know. And so things like that and increasing is really, really good. But yeah, you guys, that's beautiful advice. And I'm excited for everybody's hard work in the future, inshallah. For everyone that's listening, that's thinking about maybe starting a podcast or starting something to support or to amplify or to aid the ummah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you successful. Mm-hmm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose you, because you need to be chosen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses his custodians. He chooses his means of people he wants to use for good. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you of those means. Thank you guys so much to the team. Jazakallah khair, barakallah feek. Oh my God, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode, inshallah. And you already know, before I go, I have to give my credits where they're due. Yet me. I'd love to give a shout out to our assistant producer, Hawaya Bazid. Jazakallah khair for this incredible mastery of an episode, for putting it together the way that you did. Loved every minute of it. I want to give a shout out to our lead producer, Hannah Adhan, our graphic designer, Wasiba Farah, our project manager, Maheen Khan, our marketing extraordinaire, Sosan Abdullahi. Thank you guys so much. And thank you to all of our teams that joined, came together, you know, moved their schedules around to ensure to do the episode. I love you guys so much. And I love you guys. I've been saying it 10 million times, but I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. And yeah, thank you for doing this episode with us. All right, guys. Assalamu alaikum. I will see you guys, as always, next week well, not me stuttering, not on my outro. What? Let me do it again. I'll see you guys next week in your ears, in your speakers, telling you a good story.